from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Yeah, happy Monday in beautiful downtown Seattle. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. You sound so mellow, and I think it's just because you haven't had a break. You have just been going, 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 going. So it's Monday, and I'm feeling all sprightly, and you sound exhausted.
I'm exhausted. Lillian's going to get to go to the game.
Yeah.
She's going to go to the preseason basketball game there at Climate Pledge Arena. And when I leave here, when I leave here, I got to go get a new phone because, newsflash, I don't have my phone. I don't know where it is. And wherever it is, it's all by itself. It hasn't turned on yet. So I'm waiting on the Find My Phone thing to happen. But in the meantime, I got to go get a new phone. And then after I get that phone, I'm going right home. And I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, I think you need it. You're going to miss out on the sunshine today. But the good news is we'll have more sunshine all the way through October 10th.
Yes.
Okay, coming up after Heather's newscast at 11:30, this is going to be yet another awkward conversation. But the question is, should people who are in polyamorous relationships have the same sort of legal protections that are given to two-person relationships? And I think you can already guess who's going to side in what area and who is going to believe the other. But I'll let you guys guess. 888-973-5476. 888-973-CHIRO. We want to hear from you.
So this hour basically is going to be an entire agree to disagree.
Yes.
Agree to disagree brought to you by Guarding Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really come
Well, guys, after 18 months of intense design and development, the Seattle Kraken have unveiled their new mascot. It's a troll named Bowie, modeled after the famous Fremont sculpture, but with blue hair. It's getting some, what should we call it, mixed reviews, G?
Yeah.
Mixed reviews.
Yeah.
We'll call it mixed reviews so far, but, you know, give it time. My question is, do pro sports teams really need a mascot? Because when this story came up, at first I thought, they've just not had one. Do you need a mascot for a pro sports team?
Yes. You need something to identify. You can't just put Seattle on the hat, and you have to have some type of identification on your clothing and apparel that you buy. You can't just have, Seattle Kraken and just the letters in different fonts. That doesn't go well either. Maybe call me the get off my lawn old man, but I don't know anything different other than a sports team, Ursula, having a mascot.
Okay, let's just go back to the teams that you mentioned. Seattle Kraken. I love Seattle Kraken's logo. The uniforms, the color, but it's not the mascot, right? I mean,
correct.
Do we see the Kraken? I mean, I don't even know. Do they have a Kraken going running around the arena?
An octopus? I don't think there's anyone alive that has that many arms or legs,
right?
So hence, you know, why you'd have a troll walking
yes.
on two.
Okay, yeah. So the troll, however, when I first saw that thing, I thought this couldn't be uglier. It is so hideous that
Ursula.
Suddenly he became cute.
Wow.
It's adorable.
Now I find it to be adorable.
It's like somebody's baby. When somebody has a baby, everybody, oh, your baby is so cute.
No. They say, if it's not cute, they say, interesting.
Interesting.
Okay.
Wow, that's a big baby.
So and another take on this. Numbers, like what number? Ooh, I don't like that number. Oh, ooh, I love that number. And troll or trolls or mascots, when you win, they're cool. When you don't win, they're not. And so I think the Kraken at some point when they get ready to start, I mean, last year was their first season. They're going to keep going. When things start going well for them, it's going to be great.
Yeah. The marketing and the like I said, the logo for the Kraken, I think, is beautiful. I would buy it even though I'm not a big hockey fan.
Mm-hmm.
But there, I don't know if your kids love mascots. I just remember when Steven was young and we'd go to games. I would have to make sure that he was nowhere close to the mascots.
Why?
Oh, my God. He was terrified. Terrified. I mean, we
really?
Couldn't.
It's
I would have to.
Moose.
I would have to reassure him, like, you know, when we would go to Key Arena, okay, there are no mascots. You have no mascots. And then sure enough, you know, a mascot comes out, and you're like, oh, my gosh. One time we were at the Puyallup Fair, and one of those, oh, it was terrible. one of those, I don't even remember what it was, but it was like a big inflated balloon. It was like a mascot of some sort.
Yeah.
Comes up and it's like, you know, looming large right over Steven, wants to shake his hand, and Steven went and punched it. And I was like, oh my God, Steven, you need to go apologize now, please. But it's just, it was like a
fight or flight response.
Exactly, fight or flight.
Which one are you, which one love football the most?
Steven.
Because why? Because why, Ursula?
Because he likes to hit.
Okay.
I'm just saying, though, but there was a period of time when you think that these mascots are so cute, but there are kids who are just truly terrified.
And there are kids who are not. I think you need the mascot for a very important business reason, G. Scott, and that is with the constant player turnover and roster turnover that happens on any kind of professional sports teams, you need to have one person that someone can identify with from all their years growing up. And with an interchangeable human being inside that costume that you can fire and replace at any time you want. You don't have to pay top market dollar to after 10 years in the game. You know, you have a fan who at age 6 sees the Mariner Moose and age 18 sees the Mariner Moose. It's the exact same thing. Mm. So I love this new Kraken mascot. It's very cute. And how dare you, Ursula?
I said, so cute it grows on you and suddenly... I mean, it was so ugly, it became cute.
Okay, I hate to stay sports-related, but this relates to issues in society at large. Has society gone soft? And there was one element of the Mariners' post-game celebration on Friday night after their win and a playoff-clinching win by Cal Raleigh that just kind of... piqued my curiosity. You know how they do the celebrations after the game where they bring out the crates of beer and the champagne and they spray everything all over? Well, there was something new that the Mariners did. They all had these giant goggles. And until this point in my life, I was unaware that champagne goggles were a thing. Gee, is that overly cautious? Champagne goggles for a celebration.
If you have never had champagne in your eyes after a celebration, then I'd understand why you would probably be like, why do you need the goggles? But if you have had champagne in your eyes after a celebration, you now know. I just don't know what took so long.
Seriously?
Straight up, bruh. It burns. You're sitting there, you're trying to have all this fun and do what you've seen done all over the years. Now, I understand the goggles. How about this? I have an idea. Can we stop with these champagne baths? That's my whole thing.
Or the Gatorade being dumped on. That's part of the game.
I know. Tradition. I can understand the Gatorade in the water dumped over the coach.
But champagne, you're too tired for that today.
Bruh, come on, man. Champagne? You're
like, that's perfectly good champagne. What are you doing? I just feel like the champagne glasses, though, don't they just defeat the purpose of...
Yes.
Yeah, it's supposed to be sticky. It's supposed to be like maybe sting your eyes a little bit. It's supposed to be spontaneous, not, okay, we were expecting this. Let's everyone put the glasses on.
I know. Guys, okay, go into the clubhouse. Now I need to put on your giant blinders before we celebrate and take a bunch of pictures together. I assumed that this had come because maybe there was some sort of a famous incident where someone got, you know, hit in the eye with a champagne cork. In all of human history, I've only seen one sports injury related to a champagne cork, and it was like... some Italian cyclist a couple years back who got hit in the eye. Gee, I just have to know, though, where have you been hit in the eyes with spraying champagne, and was it a celebration?
Yeah, and it wasn't a sports thing. It was a home party.
And oh, boy.
You know what, man? Chef, you're a jerk.
Speaking of, coming up at 11:30.
Oh, you are... Oh, man.
Stick around for 11:30. Uncomfortable conversations.
Okay. I would like to move on to a number one story, our number one show on Netflix. It is the new Jeffrey Dahmer series, which I have been told, because I'm not watching it, that the show is different in that it centers the victims in ways that other kind of docuseries of this type have not. Ursula, I just got to ask you, though, because you probably covered this in the news throughout your career. Should people be watching this? Is this a bit exploitative?
I think if you can stomach what you are going to watch, I would say you should watch it, because it was one of the most horrific crimes in the country in a very, very long time. And when it happened, I mean, there were some things that you just couldn't even talk about on the radio or, right. or want to get into. And I think if you can get beyond the sensational aspects of it and like how can someone like that exist and what happened to allow him to continue to do these horrific things that he did, what led up to that, I think it could be informative, you know, in a gross way, kind of I don't want to say entertaining, but you'd be interested in it. I mean,
gripping,
yes, exactly. Yeah. My 22-year-old and his girlfriend, who is visiting, they watched it on Saturday night. I've yet to talk to them about what they thought. I mean, and I don't feel the need to watch it because I feel like we covered it, and I don't have an interest in reliving that. There's enough horrific stuff going on in the world that I don't want to relive that. But they weren't, you know, they didn't follow it. So I understand why their interest is piqued. Yes.
Yeah. Gee.
I tried to watch it, and why? Because, I don't know, I used to love anything with crime shows, and I've noticed now since the Gene Ursula show has started, and I think the pandemic that happened, I no longer like crime shows like I used to. And this movie by Netflix, I got to tell you, the people that did this, it's so well done that I had to stop watching it. And I could not believe I was watching it. But here's a takeaway I have for it, though. My takeaway, yes, we all know, well, some of us know about what Jeffrey Dahmer did and the horrific crimes that he has done. But the takeaway from this is I'm reminded how so many serial killers over the years have gotten away with, because in the case of Jeffrey Dahmer, people were telling the police about him and telling him, like, hey, something's up with that dude. So in the show, they talk about that. They show you that. And when you hear about Ted Bundy and when he did years ago, when they actually described Ted Bundy and actually interviewed him and the girlfriend called and said, hey, that little bug that he's driving, yes, that was him in Lake Sammamish out there. I'm reminded about how so many times a lot of these crimes could have been prevented if actual work would have been done. So it just makes you mad, and I had to turn it off.
See, I can see that point of it. I think there's certain value in documenting what exactly happened in certain cases as a case study in how not to approach something like that in the future. And Ursula, I can see, you know, for someone who didn't live through that time period and wasn't really familiar with exactly what happened in the stories, how it could be gripping. But it's been itching at me. It's been itching at me so much. After reading an interview with, you know, one of the family members of the victims who's saying, you know, this is re-traumatizing us. And it humanizes Dahmer in a way that it shouldn't. I don't know. I can't comment on that latter part of it.
Yeah.
But to me, the only reason this exists is not to provide society some sort of greater benefit, because all this information is out there. You can go find that, right? Why do you make a Netflix series? Because you want a profit, and that profit comes off of someone else's pain. And there's something fundamentally exploitative about the true crime genre that just bothers me, and it sticks in my gut, and I just refuse to watch that stuff now because it feels really gross to me.
It is gross. I mean, it is gross, but yet, like you said, I mean, it's like why people watch a train wreck or why people will stop and look at accidents on the road. It's like you know that you're going to see something horrific, but yet you can't not watch it. But I'm with you. I don't even get into the whole crime genre, probably because we have to write about it and read about it every single day. It's like I don't need that to be my form of entertainment, too.
It's well done, though. Whoever put together this, the Jeffrey Dahmer guy that they have planned there, they've actually played. I've seen clips on social media where they took it exactly from court documents, which is interesting because there are certain things that are taking from actual facts in court documents that people don't want allowed in schools Oh, I didn't mean to go there. I know sometimes
blame it on your fatigue.
But me being tired.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, sure.
What do you got for us next?
Okay, still ahead. There is a judge who has just ruled in favor of polyamorous relationships. So we're going to get into that next on the G and Ursula Show. To the G and Ursula Show. We're going to share your feedback and your text in about 15 minutes from now. But right now, we are going to talk about something that might make some of you feel uncomfortable. Actually, it's going to make me feel uncomfortable. But this is the question. Should polyamorous relationships get the same legal protections as traditional ones? And the reason we're bringing this up, because a New York judge says, yes, in fact, they should. So the details of the case go like this. There are three men in a relationship, Scott, Marcus, and Robert. Scott and Robert are married, but Scott lives with Marcus. When Scott died, his name was on the apartment lease, and Scott and Marcus's landlord refused to renew the lease to Marcus, basically saying that Marcus was just a roommate of Anderson's, of Scott's, and not a traditional family member, quote unquote. A New York civil court judge agreed with Marcus, concluding that polyamorous relationships are entitled to the same sort of legal protection given to two-person relationships. And G, during our meeting today, you said, I agree with this. This is a good thing.
I do agree with this. I think that relationships should draw up contracts in the future anyways, because we can't always count on government for all of these different protections and actually write out, hey, if this were to happen to me, this person has the ability to be able to go and get my money. You want to put contracts in place in the first place. I've learned that from some very smart people. And I'm being serious when I say that. Now, polyamorous relationships are frowned upon. Totally understand, because they're not normal, right? They're not normal to see. That's not something that we see all the time. And not the relationships aren't illegal. The marriage is illegal.
Yes.
The relationships are totally legal. And it's interesting, right? Because I believe that if you are in one of those relationships, good for you. That's what you want to do. As far as the argument on if they should be married or not, I'm not going to open up that can right there, because I don't foresee in my lifetime me ever seeing where that will be legal. But I do hope and wish that one day that we get to a point in our society where we frown more about someone cheating in a regular relationship as we do as three consenting adults deciding to be in a relationship. And so people always say, well, this is a normal traditional relationship. And it's interesting, right? Because when we talk about normal relationships, we are talking about normal things that happen in society. And so I don't know why it would make someone feel uncomfortable about three people being in a relationship when it's not you or anybody that's in that relationship. So how does it make you uncomfortable?
Because you're secretly worried that your partner is interested in that type of relationship and you're not.
No.
I'm being serious.
What are you uncomfortable about three people being in a relationship?
A number of things. One, it has not been, okay, when it gets to the marriage part, it has not been, it's not considered legal.
I've never said marriage one time. I keep saying relationship.
I know, exactly. So on the relationship, why be in a relationship if you don't want to be loyal to one other person? In that sense, I am completely traditional. And so I will say that you're looking at me like you're in shock.
No. Yeah, I'm just following you.
I don't understand why you would agree to be loyal to two different people. I just don't think that is something that is easily done. We see that where it can be problematic, it does end up in legal issues, just like we're having in the case that we're talking about today, where there's always going to be one that feels like they're not of equal importance as perhaps the other one. And there's years of legal precedent that don't favor this kind of relationship. But, I'll just simply say, just I don't feel comfortable with it. Does that mean other people can't do it? No. In fact, I know someone who is in a thruple.
But you still haven't said that you don't feel comfortable with it. I'm trying to get from you and the eyes you saw from me is I want to know what it is that you are uncomfortable with if three consenting adults decide to be in a relationship.
If it's three consenting adults, hey, more power to you.
So you're not uncomfortable with that?
I would still be uncomfortable. I would still be judging, yes.
But why are you uncomfortable?
Because it is not, in my opinion, something that would be healthy. I associate it with things like what's going on in Utah, where there are like 30,000 polygamists in Utah. And again, I know that – I don't – you know what? Here's another thing, G. I don't know that many people who are in relationships with multiple partners living under the same roof.
But we know a lot of marriages that are ending in divorce.
Yes. Which, again, I would say don't go into a marriage unless you are willing to do the work.
I am as comfortable with three consenting adults being in a relationship as I am with two consenting adults being in a relationship.
And that's where we're different.
You want to know why? Because for some reason, it seems like the ones in those two is not having a great track record either, but nobody judges that.
Well, I think it's completely normal to feel uncomfortable with it because when we're presented with something that is not normal to us and you think to yourself, okay, so what happens if my daughter ends up in a thruple or, you know, my brother is going to be in a thruple and then I have to navigate that social situation. The negative consequences of being in a polyamorous relationship, though, are due to the fact that it is largely socially unacceptable and entirely socially unacceptable in many areas of the country. That's where the negative consequences come from, is the fact that it is not normal. However, it will change. And let me give you a couple case studies. So, Ursula, you mentioned Utah. Utah in February of 2020 downgraded bigamy from a crime to a misdemeanor.
Right.
There are a couple places in Massachusetts that have passed ordinances allowing people, three or more, who consider themselves to be a family to be recognized as domestic partners. Another town in Massachusetts where they've legally recognized that a child can have more than two parents who are not, you know, split apart, remarried, etc. So, there is a legal landscape forming up for this to happen. And personally, I'm kind of in the middle on this where I feel like until there is a legal framework that says, okay, this is a third type of relationship. It's not same sex. It's not opposite sex. It involves multiple people. And until that gets sorted out, it seems odd to give people legal rights that don't exist without a framework. But at the same time, how do we get there without it happening?
Well, we're moving in that direction, for sure.
Do we still have people in this country that are uncomfortable with blacks and whites being in relationships?
They just can't say it out loud anymore.
Oh, they do.
Well, you know what? Never mind. Some people are okay saying that out loud these days.
Oh, and what? And why do you think that is? Why do you think that if you are uncomfortable with blacks and whites being in a relationship, why do you think that is? Because for a long time, it wasn't, quote, you hear me on this, in quotes, normal to see that. So when you don't see something every single day, you think it is abnormal. But now we are having more situations where blacks and whites, the loving decision where they're allowed to get married and they're more in relationships. So now it's like, oh, yeah, that's no big deal. In 50 years, polyamorous relationships are going to be just like that. If somebody wants to get in a relationship, let them.
You know who really loves this, though?
Who?
Divorce lawyers. They're going to have a field day.
Yeah, I didn't even want to go down that road of where the whole marriage industry and how divorce lawyers make top big money is it costs you very little to get married, but a whole lot to get divorced.
Yeah. 425 asks, how does this affect you directly? It doesn't. I mean, would I want if my sons were to tell me, hey, you know, I want to get into a polyamorous relationship and have multiple people, you know, I would discourage that. But if they decided they wanted to do that, you know, that's their prerogative.
Yeah. Great. Coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, your text messages, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to G and Ursula. G and Ursula, everybody. Happy Monday to all of you guys. Just want a reminder that I've gone over 2 days without a phone, Ursula.
I know. I'm proud of you. You've survived.
I actually needed it. No, it's been really good.
Yes. Yeah. No, I know. Because imagine you being this tired and then also having your phone. I think that would just be a problem.
All right. Let's get to it. What do you got for the text messages?
Okay, starting with the Mariners making the playoffs. Uh-huh. Sharon, the Scrabble savant, says, I'm ecstatic. I started watching baseball as a girl with my dad. I took my son to countless games growing up, and he was there on Friday night. I love that it brings our city together in a positive way. Exactly.
I saw Roger in Fife says, I'm still doing a happy dance about the Mariners. I started watching baseball with my dad when I was little. I became a Mariners fan because of dad. My dad died in 1985, so never got to see them make the playoffs. Dad and I will be listening to the M's on the radio together this year, just like we did when I was little.
360 says, the last time the Mariners were in the playoffs, they were just starting to build the HOV lanes in Tacoma.
Was that the jinx the whole time?
Real quick, I just want to say, I saw a lot of stories about people whose parents are no longer here and able to see this. And I think it's just so cool to just read those stories. So, should poly relationships receive the same legal protections as traditional ones? 206 says, can anyone say slippery slope? Stop this nonsense. Let's get back to what's the traditional family. And what does the traditional family look like?
Well, I think that's a different answer for everybody, right? 425 says, one of my kids is in a poly relationship. They got a lawyer and drew up paperwork to guarantee they are cared for when one of them passes. Do not count on the government to recognize your relationship. Good advice.
FYI, you have at least one longtime listener that is in a poly relationship. We don't have a certain look or age.
Mellow in Anchorage says, substitute thruple for gay couple. And I heard this very same argument and same, quote unquote, not normal point 20 years ago.
Hey, Mellow, we can apply this all day long to a lot of different topics. Brian Yelm says, as long as no harm is being done, as long as no one is being taken advantage of and everybody was open to it and everybody is treated fairly, had an equal say in the relationship, why not?
217 made a fantastic point just a minute ago that perhaps insurance companies might not like the idea of having to cover, I don't know, 18 people once you get into large relationships.
Mm, 18. The new Kraken mascot, Bowie the Troll. I forgot that was part of Kraken. See, now that makes sense. See, I told you.
We're starting.
Now it makes sense. Because it just went click. I was like, I like everything about the Kraken so far. And now I'm starting to like the troll. But 360 says it looks like the AMPM troll. It really does.
During the break, I showed you. I'm starting to. I like it. I think I like it. Tiffany Smiley attacks the Seahawks, Starbucks, and the Seattle Times. Anne from Kitsap says, hi, you guys. I agree that bullying political ads are offensive and counterproductive. Also, if the businesses' requests were endorsements for Murray, which they weren't, don't businesses, unions, and local papers endorse candidates all the time?
Yes.
Also, aren't businesses categorized as having the same rights as individuals? These individuals were standing up for their rights to not be used against their will.
There you go. The term woke versus MAGA Republicans. Aaron in Auburn says, MAGA Republicans don't believe in democracy. There isn't a both sides argument to be had here. MAGA Republicans want to tear the country down at any cost to put their dear leader in charge. There were many other text messages, too. And so we hear you also when you say you were kind of upset about that conversation. So
a lot of people embraced it, and a lot of people said, no, absolutely don't apply that label to us.
Yes, exactly.
DK Metcalf taking off the field to the locker room for a tummy ache. Our good friend Linda and Lacey says, first of all, a grown...
You know what, man?
Okay. I didn't understand the context. First of all, a grown... ASS man doesn't have a tummy ache. He's not 4 years old.
But now, G, you came around and you said that, yes, maybe it was a story.
Yes, I did. At first, I was getting on Ursula about it being a news story. Ursula was right. It's a trending story. It's definitely a news story. Ursula's Time for Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
And this is a great quote. Loyalty is hard to find. Trust is easy to lose. Actions always speak louder than words. I hope you all have a fantastic Monday. Go out and enjoy the sunshine. If you're looking forward to rain, that's going to come soon enough. So enjoy it while it's here. Enjoy the sunshine. The Dori Monson Show is coming up next.
What you going to be doing today, Ursula?
Oh, I'm going to be enjoying the sunshine.
I got to
go. Walk around Green Lake.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
I ain't looking forward to going to get a new cell phone.
That shouldn't take that long.
First world problems.
Yeah,
Let me complain. Nick, what do you got, sir?
Well, the drought is now over. Yes, the M's did it, but the goggles came out late for champagne, I have to admit. You can give them a break. They're new to this for now. Like Bowie the Kraken mascot or even DK needing a ride for a clubhouse bathroom bow. Let this be a lesson to take care of your business. Hopefully DK can figure it out by Christmas.
Okay. Ursula wins when it comes to a news story. I did not think it was a news story. So she wins that part of it. And then the most important thing is this. And I was wondering why it is that DK had to be on a cart. Well, the truth is, you got to get him in and out. You know what I mean? So he can be there. So to speak, so he could be there for the next offensive series.
That's right.
It's not like, hey, sorry, we're gonna timeout delay, fans. DK's in the bathroom.
But I've always wondered, like, is everyone else like holding it? I mean, you know, you got to have great control when you're out there.
I think that was an emergency situation.
Yes,
control takes practice, Ursula.
Yes, it does.
Coming up next. We got appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And make sure you be kind.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.